Welcome back to Foster.Minnesota's Let's Talk, a podcast that brings you valuable resources for prospective and current adoptive and foster families, as well as professionals. My name is Chris, and I'm an education coordinator at Foster Adopt Minnesota. In part two of this two-part series, The Overlooked Child, we will have Norma Graham, Martha Lippitt, and Char Matheson back to focus on high school youth and how transition planning is crucial with this age group. We'll make sure special education surrogates and foster parent voices, ideas, concerns are heard at special education meetings. Welcome back, Norma, Martha, and Char. Hey, Norma, you wanted to do some intros real quick? In case people didn't hear part one, you can go to part one to hear a little bit more about these three, but Norma's going to share a little.
I've had the privilege of meeting two very outstanding professionals. I'll start with Martha because she's older.
Thanks.
One in a million. Martha doesn't really give a rat's patoot about the rules. She does what kids need. It's that simple. Doesn't matter what. And the same applies to Char. I have nothing but outstanding things to say about them. Everyone could learn from them, so myself included.
Yeah, it's a great group we have here. I'm happy that we're all back again together. So let's start part two. So what is transition planning and why is it so crucial to high school aged youth?
All right.
Martha, do you want to start?
So before a student, or by the end of the student's ninth grade year, so it could happen in eighth grade, we need to have a special education evaluation that includes secondary transition planning. And that includes interviews and documents. It could be interest inventories from the student as well as from the parents. So this is the beginning of the plan on what's happening after high school. So the whole transition plan is about making sure that the 4 years in high school are preparing for what the student wants to do after high school. So that is it's beginning with that assessment. So then there are two pages in the IEP as well that have not been filled out all during elementary and middle school, other than maybe eighth grade if they had their transition evaluation then. And those are two pages that are strictly about secondary transition planning. You're making measurable secondary goals for after high school. Let's say the student's deciding they want to go to LSC to go into welding. After high school, I will attend LSC. I mean, that would be a secondary goal. So these two pages are laid out to make sure we are planning their years to get them to where they would like to be. Of course, students change their mind, just like many of us went to college and changed our careers many times in college. But for the assistance of helping to make sure we do the right classes and that we are getting the student ready for and prepared for what they choose to do after high school, the secondary transition pages are really important for the beginning of that plan. You're laying out the plan for post-secondary for their employment, what they plan to do for employment after high school, what they plan to do as far as education after high school, and also independent living. Those are three areas that we address in those extra two pages, and as well as the courses of study. We want to make sure that we are planning the courses that will give the student the chance to then proceed into what they would like to do after high school. The second of those two pages that we're adding in the IEP are the services. What are we doing to make sure they can graduate? What are we doing to make sure that they know how to get a job? So, again, it's going to be the classes, it's going to be skills that we're teaching, that we are making sure the students are being exposed to, could be work experience, so they're out there getting experience during a job. That usually happens during their 11th and 12th grade year. It could start in their 10th grade year. But this is so important that now we are, and this is really the goal of the IEP starting in ninth grade, once they've had that evaluation. Really, your IEP should be aimed at what your post-secondary goals are. The other goals that we have had all the way through elementary are also goals that we're continuing to teach and learn to increase the skills. Again, also always working on increasing the skills that they need to be able to be with their same age peers skill-wise, but really aiming at what happens after high school.
very crucial. Norman, did you have anything to add to this?
I do. I think that, you know, if everyone could call Martha, it would be a better world. But it's something that typically teams don't do a real hot job on, because there are lots and lots of really bright kids with terminated rights and who need surrogates. And one thing caught my eye a couple years ago in the Minneapolis paper, and I managed to track it down. It's Fostering Independence Higher Education Grants. And any child that's been in foster care after the age of 13 is qualifies for this grant for higher education. And it's, I think most, it's all public colleges and secondary vocational training and some private schools. And it refers to itself as an end grant, meaning it covers whatever isn't covered by other financial aid, making sure that kids who've been in foster care can get higher education. And I think that as an advocate for them, believing in them is the main variable. And it's really hard to measure that. But that's what I've listened to Martha and her work about Carleton. And that's the thing. Martha believes in them, and she shows them a way to do what they need to do. And as a team member for IEP meetings, I haven't seen much of that, quite honestly. So as their advocate, I need to push for that. And it isn't a real strength of mine, in that professionally, I didn't do that. Other people did it. But when I ask the question, what does this child need to graduate credit-wise? There's always a big silence and then some scrambling around. Well, we'll check into that. It's really important to know what, and Martha, you can help out here. I don't really know what credit recovery and the number of credits needed and all of that. And you have to be pretty assertive and proactive to get that information. Am I right? And I don't quite know how to tell people to do that and when to start doing that. That if there have been many placements, a child has moved, they're in and out, are credits transferred from previous sites, schools, treatment centers, you know, and typically their history is kind of a mess, and we need to help get that on track. How do we do that, Martha?
With an amazing school counselor that can pull all that together.
Right.
For one.
It is a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, and requesting records and pulling things together. I mean, that's when the IEP can be used. However, let's say you have a student coming in with credits in some interesting areas that maybe we don't cover here. We can say, hey, you know what, we can call that a math credit. And within the IEP, we can write in substitutions. Again, if a student wants to go to a four-year college, we need to make sure that they have all the required classes that they need in order to graduate to go to that four-year college.
Having
the counselor there. I always have, if the counselor can't be at the meetings that I'm running here or at previous meetings in Duluth, then I ask them to, hey, please give me a credit recap of where they're at. And so they'll go through and pull together from different schools or from whatever, you know, school they're at, and show where they're at with credit wise. So then, you know, hey, this student is on track to credit to graduate, or you know what, ninth grade English. And so you're going to have to do a credit recovery in order to get that. Credit recovery can be done online. It can be done in the summer. There's all kinds of different schools have different ways to recover that credit, so that student will then have that credit that they need in their transcript. So thank goodness for school counselors, because I don't keep track of all that. I ask for the write-up of where they're at. I you know, look at it. I'm not the calculator of it, but I see where we're at with that, and I see what's needed. I mean, here's an example you're saying of students that don't get what they need. We have a student that has had trauma and emotional dysregulation get in their life, been in the way of their education on and off for their 9th grade and 10th grade year. Now you have an 11th grade student, and they have 8 credits.
Right.
Okay, they're not on track to graduate. They weren't able to complete the credit recovery in the summer because they couldn't get there, couldn't do it. They couldn't stay focused. So you have a student who basically has lost hope. Okay, I can't, that's obvious, I can't graduate. What's the use? I'm just gonna keep dropping out. I'm gonna keep not coming. And we just had a student similar to that who's a senior and was doing really well, has most of his credits, but he, because of his home life, has been working full-time in order to support himself, in order to support his girlfriend that has their young child. So this is a situation where he wouldn't be graduating. He would just be going on working for whatever he could work on without his high school diploma. So we looked at everything. We looked at this student. He wants really bad to do it. He's working full-time now. We actually can have him graduate off of his IEP rather than go through all of the graduating off his credits. So we have created a plan where he comes and turns in his work hour timesheets or stubs. And for every 90 hours of work, he gets a half a credit. Again, we're not working to get all of the credits for him in order to graduate, but we're working to make sure he will work full time. He will show us. He will show us he's serious about education, serious about wanting to graduate. He is working to graduate, to do a couple of online classes as well, doing this full time. And one of the classes we wanted him to be involved in is something having to do with child development. You have a baby. My God, let's learn about what's happening in this baby's life. So you have to be creative. You have to find resources. You have to find people that are willing to work with you. Say, oh yeah, I have this class, or I have this packet on child development. We can give him a health credit for it. And you write that in to his IEP. So here's a kid who figured there was no help. He wasn't going to make it, and trying to survive with this young mother and this baby. And now all of a sudden feels like there's light at the end of the tunnel. We created this plan for him. And he comes in and picks up his work on Monday. The work that he does need to complete, this child development packet, I forget what other class he's doing, a self-advocacy maybe, or no, I think it's a budgeting, a transitioning class. So he's learning how to budget and how to survive on his own. So he picks that work up, goes to work all week long, comes in again, doing it, comes in, returns that work to us on Fridays, completed packets, brings in his stubs to show he's working. He continues this all the way through the end of his senior year. We are writing so that he will graduate with a diploma and he will be able to go on. He could go into LSC, go into community college with that, graduating off of your IEP. But at least we have someone who's going to be getting his diploma. He's feeling successful. He's doing good things. Life is, you know, definitely turned up for him and his young baby's mom, and they're learning about what the child is going through. So this is something that doesn't happen every day. These are things that the IEP can do when you are doing creative transition planning, meeting the student's needs.
Martha, you don't know how frustrating it is for me to sit here and listen to that. How do I, as a surrogate, I get a notice on my email saying there's 14 people invited, 4 of them are administrators. I don't have a chance to request anyone. How do I do this as an advocate? There is no one doing what you're saying.
I don't understand. You don't have a chance to request too.
The
case manager should be graduating, you know, writing a plan to graduate the student off their IEP, whether it be substitutions.
What do I do if they're not, Martha? How do I do this? I'm sorry for taking the podcast time to talk about this. Sorry.
Others are probably asking as well.
I mean, as
by law, there are ways on MDE's site, there are ways, questions you ask if you're graduating off an IEP. There are questions you ask. I started with that when I was learning what I could and couldn't do. So you start by knowing the law. You start by knowing what I can do, what an IEP can do for my child in this situation, how my child can graduate without all their credits. It should not be happening. I have a child who didn't come to school for 4 years and he wants to graduate because his buddy is. No, I don't write plans. I don't help teams write plans for a student who is not showing any effort, who's just skipping and doing whatever and going out and smoking pot in the parking lot and not working. Again, you have to have teams that are willing to look for the strengths, feed the strengths, figure out how we can use these strengths to create a plan. And really it's about, will he be able to survive without us? We have to write a plan that shows that he or she can show us, I know how to survive after high school. I've just showed you I can work all year and I can do this, or I can come in every day and do this. Right. Whatever it is, the team needs to see to show, yep, I feel comfortable being able to give a diploma to this child. Again, you have to have an administrator that's willing to support these creative ideas. I've been lucky in Duluth, and I'm lucky here to have administrators that are supporting creating plans for students that give them hope but hold them accountable to make sure they are following the plan that we have created as a team. The student has to be involved in the plan as well, obviously. Starting in ninth grade, the student is required to be attending the IEPs as well.
You took my next
question. This is their plan, their life.
Yeah, so youth should be attending IEP meetings, those individualized education plans and transition meetings.
I think it should be case by case. And for high school kids, probably. Martha, back me up about 20 paces. How do I, as a surrogate, when I get an IEP invitation for a child who does not have all the credits, and I don't even know that typically, how do I request, or what do I request? I'm honestly asking you. I've never had anyone try to come up with a graduation plan. I'm just told that they don't have the credits when I ask, you know, what, nobody does what you're saying. How do I make that happen? Does that make sense?
You asked the teams to, I'd like to come up with a creative plan for this student to graduate.
Okay.
Who can help me with that? Who else do I need to invite in there? Is there a school counselor that needs to come? Are there community people like Department of Voc Rehab? I mean, there are people now from the community that we should be pulling in as well to help these students find resources. Whether there's a county type of a mental health worker within the building that can help with resources as well, that help this student learn how to sign up for food card and different things for his family. I mean, you need to pull in all the resources you can to help create a plan for that student.
Well, I really need to work on this. I'm not good at this. The biggest uproar I caused with a secondary student is demanding busing. It was a huge deal. And this child said, she was very bright, and she said, I cannot take a large group class. I need to have small groups. Okay. So what the case manager did is scheduled her first thing in the morning for an art class, which is about 50 kids. What I'm saying is, once I get the invitation as a surrogate or a foster parent, how do I control that meeting? I'm not given any input at the outset, Martha. And when I ask questions that they don't like, you know, to back it up or have a different off the agenda, I get real resistance. And how do I make this work for the student? How do I get the team on the same page at the outset, not having to stop the process? Do you see what I'm saying? Because nobody has talked like you are, ever.
I mean, you can certainly request as a parent, a surrogate parent, foster parent, whoever you are, you can certainly request information. I'd like to see a report. I'd like to see a transcript of where my student is at right now. So I have an idea going in there where their deficits are or whether they're on track. I'd like to see that from the school counselors. They all can have that. I mean, that would be a first point I see that people should ask for. So
before
they see
the
that
meeting.
Yeah, before the meeting,
Okay.
so that
All
you
right.
come there with that with knowledge, rather than just hear waiting till someone hears they can't graduate. Well, what are you talking
Right.
about? You haven't given me
Right.
anything.
Right.
So
No one
request
does.
so yeah, so requesting a credit review, and counselors can pull that together, and I mean they have to, but you can have the case manager request a credit review so that you can have that brought sent to you. So you have the most recent IEP, and you have a credit review, so you will know what you're going into, and then ask teams what are the options. What are your options here? Different schools have different options. Different schools have outside programming or different alternative learning programming where someone may be able to get credits or getting credit a different way. We have students here that don't do as well here, but they're doing taking a college welding class, which they're getting their college credit. They don't do well sitting in a history class or in a science class, but they can go and excel in a welding class. And we write that in then as, as they're in place of their science. So there's all kinds of things that the IEP can do by law. You have to have teams that are willing to work together, willing to use creative minds, and figure out what can really best meet the needs of this student and where they're going. If you have a student
And
that wants
Charlotte,
to go to a four-year college, you're not doing them any favors by doing substitutions or doing whatever. You need to make sure they stay on track and get all of their required classes that will be needed to be able to attend a four-year college. I've had students though that did want to go to a four-year college. They got a little bit behind, so we ended up doing a double substitutions, and they went into a two-year college first. Were able to show themselves and then could go to their four-year college. So
well, and
there's
this grant program would help that process.
right, right.
There's money to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
So
And
this
Charlotte, it
transition.
looks like you had something to add.
All I wanted to add, which may or may not be useful, is that in my experience, when I would get an IEP notice, a meeting notice in my email, usually, I would check with who's the case manager, whoever sent it. I would send them an email and ask who was invited to the meeting. And if somebody on that was not on that list who I thought needed to be there, I would request that they be invited. And sometimes that required a meeting scheduling change, but I would usually get permission and they would accept that and let us invite this other person in the district. You can, as a parent and as a county worker with custody of the child whose rights were terminated, I was essentially the legal parent. I could invite anybody I wanted to that meeting. You always can. You can bring the entire neighborhood to the meeting. It may not be effective or helpful, but you can bring anybody you want. But if you want somebody from the district who knows what you feel, you feel that they know your child and know what your child needs, you need to ask for that. For the first meeting.
So a
Great.
school counselor would be the person to request
That's one person, yes.
a
There are other
guidance
people that
counselor.
you feel are important. You have the right to have them added.
See, I don't even know, Martha. I don't know what to do. That's what I'm saying to you. And I would guess that most foster parents know even less, because I used to work in the schools. If that makes sense. And I don't know how to.
Norma, if a child is in foster care, the child's county case manager should be attending that IEP meeting, and they should know that child well enough to know who to invite. But county case managers aren't formally trained on special education. They don't know unless they've experienced it before or with their own children. They don't know what to expect or what to ask for. So it might make sense to try to connect with that case manager at the county.
Okay,
The
as a
other
place to
person
start.
in the past, in my past years of experience working, When a case manager didn't feel that they had a team that really could come up with a creative plan, they asked for a supervisor from the special ed department. That was a role that I was in previously as a teacher on special assignment. And sometimes it'd be myself, sometimes it'd be one of our directors that would come to help with creating a plan for that student as well at the parent request. When the parent did not feel that the team was using all resources that were available in the district to help their child learn and succeed and graduate, then ask for other special ed staff to come that could help with those decisions.
Maybe that means.
Yeah, so as we wrap up part two of the overlooked child, we've shared a lot of things parents can do if they're struggling, but what is the best advice that each of you have? Like one piece of advice for parents struggling to obtain special education services for their high schoolers?
I'd say from the parent perspective, having been one, and then also surrogate parenting my own kids on my caseloads, make sure that kid's on board with whatever you're about to ask for before you get into the meeting, because they can pretty quickly undermine everything.
I think maintaining good communication with the case manager, for sure, and the students, so that you're like Char was saying, you're on the same page when you come to the meeting, that you, the case manager, the student have said, hey, you know what, this class is not meeting my need, I need something else. And the administrator, whoever that is of that particular student, as your student as well, making sure you have communication with these, make sure you attend the meetings. We have a lot of parents, I've been in a lot of meetings where parents don't show, and then they complain that things aren't being done. Well, if you want things done, you need to make sure you're showing up and having a chance to say, not that we don't sometimes need to change or reschedule or whatever when something doesn't work, but and maybe showing up as a parent, and you have your own trauma in your background and school did not go well for you. Make sure you have support to get you there. Like the example Norma gave in the last one, that she had family support go with her to a meeting that she felt overwhelmed at. Make sure you have people attend with you that can support, or make sure you do it virtually, because you just really can't do it in person. And now schools will do things virtually. If it's more comfortable for you to be sitting at home with someone holding your hand next to you and you feel you can say your words that way, request your meeting be that way. Or request a second meeting. You say, you know what, this is all I can take for today. Can we meet again a second time? Teams can do that as well. But making sure you're getting the support, but keeping good communication with your special ed teams is very important.
And Norma, do you have any last words you'd like to share?
Nothing profound. And I guess that's the beauty of this process, and that it is a process. Learning never ends. Brains heal. Kids can always give education another shot. I guess with older kids, that's important for me to remember. And what Char said about being on the same page as a kid is, and Martha, you know, you can always stop the meeting, have another meeting. And nothing profound. It's when you work with people, there's no clear cut anything. And I appreciate this discussion. I actually learned some things today, and my own skills need to improve as far as advocating for older kids. I'm much better with the little ones. And
well, we can always improve and learn. That's for sure. It never stops. I think that's
right.
The important
piece. That's the big deal. Yep. So thank you.
One more
point. And Martha?
I always have one more thing that comes to mind. Really important. When a student turns 18, they are the person in charge of their IEP.
That's a good reminder.
And I've had students that are like, oh, I just want my mom to come. And that's fine. But they have to give me permission to invite the parent. And I've had a student this year that I'm working with, wanted the mom there in the very beginning of the, he was 18, but he wanted mom at the first meeting, came to do an evaluation, his reeval, and like, no, I got this. I don't need them anymore. I know what I'm doing now. So making sure that we work to help them feel secure about that change, but that they are the rulers of their IEP starting at 18.
Well, I want to thank you three so much for joining us again. It's been so great. I think we've all learned so much from each and every one of you, and I appreciate your time.
And I want to let our audience know that Foster.Minnesota has a program called HELP that offers a warm line to resources for adoptive, foster, and kinship families, including a network of adoption-competent, trauma-informed therapists statewide. Go to our website, fosteradoptmn.org, and click on HELP. Thank you so much for joining us today for Let's Talk. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to our podcast, and tune in again soon.